I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Wednesday, Cleveland. You got Cavs later on tonight, coming to you at 10 o'clock. The West Coast trip continues, playing the Kings tonight. The Browns are dealing with mediocre quarterbacks, and things continue to stay fun as you're deciding between potentially Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz and Joe Milton. Things are good, right? Right? Thumbs up? We're feeling okay? Probably not. Jake Vollmer with you guys here until 11 on overtime. We got Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s and doing work behind the glass. Andrew Hody with us tonight. What a day it was on the station. What a day. I mean, I didn't realize. And listen, we've only been here for, I mean, what are we on? Like a month? Or close, somewhere in their range, right? A couple of weeks. I didn't realize it was so easy just to figure out what certain hosts on the station thought about you. I didn't realize it was that simple. Apparently, all you have to do is buy a jersey. Apparently, that's all it takes. Okay? Because we had an entire unfolding today between Ken, between JP. I mean, it leaked into the afternoon show after it happened on the morning show. We had JP have to call into the morning show. There was a whole bunch of stuff happening. And I'm just sitting back enjoying the ride, enjoying it from afar. I might have to get into it because if you didn't see yesterday on social media, JP, you know, went through, decided that it was a good idea, buy a Shador Sanders jersey from a country far, far away for $30. And he now has a brown Shador Sanders jersey. And for nothing else, JP's all in on Shador. We know that I'm very high on Shador. JP's all in. And he'll have to live with that no matter what happens in the draft, that he owns a brown Shador Sanders jersey, or at one time there's video evidence of him owning and wearing a Shador Sanders jersey. I didn't know that it was going to blow up. I thought it was like fun. I thought it was a good joke. But apparently it's just not the case. Ken this morning decided that it was going to sway his entire perspective on how he viewed it as a quarterback and everybody in this draft. Here's Ken this morning after talking about JP having the jersey. I mean, I didn't know that we were in that deep. I didn't know that a simple jersey could change a man's entire opinion. No shot at Ken. I mean, it was very fun. I was having a blast this morning listening back to it on the Odyssey Rewind function, which, of course, always keep your eye out, the free Odyssey app. But I was, it's just like, okay, JP buying a jersey, I didn't think we were going to flip on how we felt about it and that things could go down in any way, shape, or form just because somebody owns a piece of apparel. But Ken took it a step farther. Ken decided that he was going to get down and dirty with it and make it maybe just a little bit more personal. I mean, we're just, now we're rattling off things. You just, I don't know. It feels like, and I'm sure Ken holds himself very highly. I don't even know if this is a full shot at JP. But what a time it was to listen. I did not expect to be sitting there listening and hear, I just think I know more football than he does. Guys, we talk a lot of Browns on this station. That is it's pretty much of the highest order. That's pretty much of the highest order. Now, I think if I want to know what people think about me, JP's taking his claim on Shador Sanders, okay? I'd like Shador. If I had to buy a jersey for a quarterback coming up, I think we'd go Shador Sanders. I don't know that I can even lean into buying like a Cam Ward jersey because Cam Ward's not going to be there too, if I had to take a guess. I don't know if I could just bypass that. I'm feeling like to figure out what Ken really feels about me, I might just have to go and buy, I don't know, Jackson Dart. I know he likes Will Howard a lot. Big Will Howard fan. Do I have to jump on the Will Howard bandwagon? If I buy a Will Howard jersey, does that get Ken off of Will Howard? Do I then hear from Ken that he knows more football than I do? And I believe, and with no hesitation, that Ken believes that as well. I'm very interested. very interested that I could find out what Ken thinks about me with the simple purchase of a jersey. Not even a full jersey, a $30 jersey. And Ken would walk it back later on in the segment. And he went from full on, think I know more football than JP, to very quickly JP calling and being like, well, it wasn't like that. And then he threw lime under the bus. It was a whole thing. Very fun to listen to today. But I think I might have to. Have only Jake, VULINEC Jake. What jersey should I be buying? What jersey should I be buying to figure out if Ken Carman thinks that I'm a know-nothing in football? It's just wild. Maybe a new jersey coming for Browns fans as well, by the way. It's just a slew of information coming from Mary Kay Cabot today. We have heard things from Brian Hoyer. We'll get into all of them. I do want to start, though, with what Mary Kay had to say. A report coming out today linking the Browns to Carson Wentz. She appeared on Afternoon Drive for a few minutes, and here was basically how she sees everything going down. It's on the table. It's a thing. If there's one thing that we do here on overtime, it is take a look at quarterbacks, and we have them all neatly placed and where we stand on them. I posted this morning with one of the quarterbacks off the board, courtesy of Baltimore, Cooper Rush, goodbye. But Russell Wilson stands at 11, Carson Wentz, and not so much nicer, sitting at 26. And that's to say something, because I'm not very confident in Russell Wilson either. But if you can't tell by the rankings alone, not very fond of this idea. Not very fond of taking a look at my quarterback situation and going, oh, so if we don't get Russell Wilson, who I've heard being compared to his entire game being three-pointers and layups, you got the moon ball and you got checkdowns, then I get to have Carson Wentz, who's been playing backup to Patrick Mahomes and doing nothing. And we've looked at Carson Wentz. His last couple of years, or his last full year, I should say, as a starter in Indy, actually wasn't too bad. He went over 25 touchdowns, you threw like 7 picks, and you went 9-8. It's a pretty good year for the Browns, considering what they did last year, if they were to pick up Carson Wentz and have that result. Same with Russell Wilson, right? It brought the Steelers to the playoffs. Not a very talented roster from top to bottom. Wouldn't be bad if the Browns ended up with Russ and ended up in the playoffs. But I look at either of these guys, not exactly jumping out of my seat. Right? The only thing that I can say that when I look at Carson Wentz is that I think if you go and you get Carson Wentz, you can at least probably bank on the idea that he might not be in the starter, your starter week one. Like, if you draft a quarterback at 2, there's a really good chance that going up against Carson Wentz and Kenny Pickett, the rookie might just win the job week one. Carson Wentz might continue to be the backup. That's sort of my saving grace if I'm going to go get Carson Wentz, because I don't want to see the 32-year-old quarterback who really hasn't done much other than limp to some victories with Indy. And after tearing his ACL in Philly, he just wasn't the same. Was never the same quarterback. Went from MVP-type season, replaced by Nick Foles, to just never really having a defined role and being anywhere great ever again. And I just don't, I've been pounding the table. I'm okay if you get a veteran backup. Carson Wentz sort of slides into the Jameis Winston territory. He slides into the Joe Flacco territory for me. I'm just not overly excited about any of the prospects that I could go for either of, any of those three quarterbacks. I'm just not excited. I really don't want a whole ton to do with any one of them, right? You look at any three of those guys, Jameis flies up higher on the roster just from being here last year. I'm of the full belief that the Browns would have no interest in bringing Jameis back after benching him last year for DTR. He sits at 13. Again, Wentz at 26, Flacco at 28. A whole lot of rookies up higher than that. A whole lot of guys I would rather trust just turning into the draft and going, yep, I'd much rather have you. But if you bring Russ in the building, I don't know that mentoring a rookie behind him works all that well. I don't know that that's reality. What I do know is that I'm not excited for Carson Wentz. He's not the guy that I turn to and think that he can lead this team to a good spot. Indy wasn't a great team, won 9 games, things fell off the rails towards the end of that year. and it's sort of remembered as the Carson Wentz falling apart. But I don't think that he's going to do much here. Can he thrive in a Kevin Stefanski system? He could do just fine. I think in his current state, he's probably going to protect the football and he's not going to wow you. But man, just not the guy that I want to see as your quarterback at this point. I am pretty much almost fully going into the mentality and the mindset here that I want the rookie to start day one, I think. Out of the quarterbacks that are left, I'm not looking for Russell Wilson. I'm not looking for Jameis Winston or any other name you can throw at me as a veteran. I think you either get me Kirk, which I'd be okay with, or you give me nothing. Right? Maybe one other quarterback in the mix that we'll talk about coming up later on that could potentially swing me to be okay with another veteran. But at this rate, scrap the veteran idea, go to the rookie, and send it forward. Have Kevin Stefanski lead him. I don't need a veteran backing up my rookie quarterback and quote-unquote mentoring him and to put him where he wants to be. We know Joe Flacco doesn't want to do that. I can basically guarantee you Carson Wentz doesn't want to do that. And I'm pretty confident that Jameis and Russ would also be unsubscribed to that idea. There's not a mentor backup veteran openly on the market right now that I think is dying to have that opportunity. So I'll pass. I'll say, Kevin, you handle the quarterbacks. You handle what's going on here. Get him where he needs to be. Forget about the veterans. Keep him away from me. I'll take Kenny Pickett as the backup. I will take my rookie and Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, or whoever else you want to toss at me and say, welcome to starting in the NFL. Thank you very much. 216-474-0092. Is Carson Wentz good enough to be your starting quarterback in 2025? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake, so we get social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A couple of guests coming up for you later on in the show, 840. During Draft Daily, we'll bring on Jeff Hathorn, sports director of it, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, our sister station here via Odyssey. As well, at 9:20, we'll bring in Dylan Feltovich, Ohio State Buckeyes on SI, and talk to him about maybe where the Buckeyes are currently sitting in this draft, what he thinks about them, and the draft is a whole picture. Does a lot of college football work over there. So we'll have some good stuff from Dylan. We'll have the station buzz at 7:40, get a grip at 9 o'clock, a whole lot to get to, but right now, 216-474-0092. Is Carson Wentz good enough to be your starter in 2025? We'll also get to my thoughts on where I think the city sits on quarterbacks. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime till 11 on The Fan.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092, is Carson Wentz good enough to be your starting quarterback in 2025? Very simply put, is he good enough? Right? I think I would look at you and tell you, absolutely not. I don't think that that flies for you. Week one, rolling with Carson Wentz as your starter. And listen, I was a, and we talked about this when we did the Browns quarterback big board, I was all on board at Carson Wentz at number two. And then the Browns said, actually, you know what? We'll pass. We're not going to do that. And he moved on from him. I'm like, okay, well, that's quite disappointing. And then he put together some good seasons. And then all of a sudden they weren't. And Philly moved on from him. He had a good year in Indy. He made it 8 games with Washington. And then they benched him. And he never saw the light of day really ever again. He spent some time as a backup. It is just sort of this factory of, well, maybe if he spent enough time as a backup, he's not the quarterback that nobody wanted 2 years ago. And let me tell you, more often than not, the answer to that is that, nope, ends up being the exact same guy there. Turns out he's actually not as good. If Philly, Indy, and Washington decided he wasn't good enough, actually 3 teams is usually pretty good sample size there to tell you absolutely not. And I'm not saying if he comes here, he's going to throw, you know, 20 interceptions and walk his way out of Cleveland with his head held hung low. But I just don't think he gives you a ton of boost here. Like I heard Nick on Afternoon Drive, really towards the start of their show, basically say that he feels Carson Wentz has a better chance to be Sam Darnold than Daniel Jones does, which I think is just absolutely wild. Right, the Sam Darnold of this year, Daniel Jones or Carson Wentz. I'll take Daniel Jones anytime, any day of the week. The younger quarterback, the quarterback who had no weapons in New York, really didn't have a... I mean, you had Brian Daboll. Things probably should have worked out there if Dable's the guy that we all think he is. But who knows? I just don't think that it's going to be Carson Wentz. And I don't know that anybody in the fan base, you know... around lunchtime today, got really excited going, oh, Carson Wentz to the Browns. Here we go. Finally, a little bit of traction on a quarterback I like. I think a lot of the fan base looked around today and said, well, there's another name I don't want to see. There's another jersey of a Browns quarterback that I don't want to buy. And someone that I'm not going to trust the day that they step under center, and I'll be calling for their backup or I'll be calling for the rookie immediately right behind them. Carson Wentz does not lead you to any belief, to any feeling that this team's going to be better. And that might be a fan problem. We might have to take a step back at some point this year and say, we got to let Kevin do his job. And we have to let one of these guys sort of ride it out and Kevin turn into quarterback whisper and really figure things out. But it's not what Browns fans do. It's not the way that we operate. We're going to go into this. And Carson Wentz would play, and if he starts week one, and if he had a bad couple of weeks, you'd be calling for whoever they drafted, whether it's the first through the seventh round, you'd be calling for the quarterback that they drafted, or you'd be calling for Kenny Pickett, because he clearly doesn't have it. And I think that could start from week one. If he doesn't come out and perform week one the way that you want him to, you very well might be trying to run Carson Wentz out of town. And that's fine, because Carson Wentz has not been a great quarterback. That's the thing. I think Browns fans know well enough that you actually have to have at least a little patience with the rookie, and you're better off there. You're better off as a fan base. You're better off as a team looking at this thing going, well, at least we have Shedeur Sanders. You know, the noise is never going to get to him. I don't know that we could say that the same thing, even with a 32-year-old quarterback in Carson Wentz. I don't know that that's reality. But I certainly don't want to live in it. And I think the bigger overall sort of overarching picture and statement that can be made about Browns fans right now is I kind of feel like we're set in stone. Right? If you feel a certain way about the quarterback position right now, I almost feel like you can't be moved. Like, it can't change. You are, do I like Cam Ward? And if your answer is yes, you're going to stick to your guns and you're going to tell me you like Cam Ward. And if you say no, there's nothing I'm going to get here, turn on my mic and say in front of you that is going to change your mind whether or not you like Cam Ward. And it's the same for Shedeur Sanders. It's the same for Russell Wilson. Doesn't matter if it's a veteran or a rookie. I think everybody at this point has pretty much come to a conclusion on where they are on every quarterback that's out there and available to you. And you're just not open to it. And if they don't get a quarterback you like, you're going to hear about it. Like right now, I could tell you that Shedeur Sanders put on 25 pounds of muscle and his velocity of his throw went up 15 miles an hour. Not true statements, but let's say that they were for a second. I could tell you those things, and I don't think you'd believe a word that came out of it that because of that, Shedeur Sanders is going to have any more zip on his ball when he steps into the NFL. You'll find a way. You'll switch your words. You'll switch your take on Shedeur. But it's I already have established I don't like him, and we're going to stick with that establishment. I do not like Shedeur Sanders. I will not go back to Shedeur Sanders. That's the mindset. And I feel like every Browns fan has practically gotten to. And you're in a dangerous territory right now because the veteran quarterbacks that are available to you, I'd have to imagine a majority of them, you're probably sitting there going, well, I don't like that. I really don't like that. I don't blame you because I'm about there with every single one of them too. But there's nothing that's going to change your mind. Right? I think at this point, if you don't like Kirk Cousins, there's probably not a veteran quarterback that you're going to be honed in on trying to target. He's a guy that already succeeded with Kevin Stefanski. He's a guy who played 9 good games of football last year before it fell off the rails. If that's not enough, I'm not saying it necessarily has to be, but if that's not enough, you're probably out on veteran quarterbacks, and that's fine. And then I'd imagine there's probably two or three rookies in your mind, tops, that you really like, and you're saying, okay, that's it. And this is where you walked yourself into a dangerous corner if you're a Browns fan. It's where you put yourself in really dangerous territory, because as you sit here and you look at the options available to you, I think there's two groups of fans right now. There's the fans who say, just get me a quarterback, whether it's Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, heck, maybe throw Jalen Milroe into that mix. Get me that quarterback. Get me one of them, and I'm all on board. And then there's the people who say you don't draft a quarterback this year, and you go into Abdul Carter, right? Pretty obvious, pretty clear cut. And we've been having this conversation since the season ended. But I also think that a lot of the Abdul Carter fan base probably doesn't fall in love with any of the veterans. And if you're saying draft Abdul Carter, you're practically also saying this team doesn't have a chance to compete next year. Right? Let's just build. Let's get some building blocks. Throw a bridge quarterback, one-year guy in there. Maybe Carson Wentz can get you to a few wins and have you feeling good. But ultimately, we'll be back at towards the top of the draft, and we'll draft another quarterback. We all know that's not reality. We all know that's not an opportunity. Again, but I don't think that the people who love Abdul Carter are willing to have their minds changed, whether it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. You've gotten the information. There's not a great quarterback here. Or you've done the homework and established yourself. There's not a great quarterback available to you. And because you've seen it with your own two eyes, or because a couple of talking heads told you that it's not a great quarterback class, and that's the information you're running with, there's nothing that can be said about these quarterbacks. There's nothing that can be said about the top of the guys, and you're just going to latch onto the negativity of people recently saying that Shedeur Sanders could be a second-round pick. Right, we'll get into that coming up here in the station buzz in about 8 minutes' time. But if there's those are the kind of reports where you're like, see, back my narrative. See, and we all do this, right? I'm high on Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, somebody says something good about him. Of course, we latch onto it. We do. But there's just nothing there. Your mind is made up. And it's a dangerous game to play with still over a month to go until the NFL draft. Because if you're full gung-ho on no quarterback, there better be somebody out there that you like. There better be somebody waiting in the wings as a veteran quarterback who you've fallen in love with that the Browns are legitimately going after. Because I think if you look at the veterans right now, and you might say, well, we should bring in Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not an option. Have not talked to him up to this point. He's pretty much sitting back. The Vikings pulled their name. It looks to me like I'm either going to New York or I'm going to Pittsburgh. Cleveland's not in the mix. You have Russell Wilson. If you want to take your stamp there, if you're still waiting out Kirk Cousins, you have to make a claim somewhere. There has to be somebody, and I'm looking for the answer. I'm looking for where everyone has found their confidence, where the Abdul Carter draft lovers have found their confidence within a sort of a veteran quarterback class. Because if you think the quarterback class is bad, you don't want anybody down farther. If it's not the top two guys, you don't want to go down farther to find your answer. And if you do, please explain that to me, because I'm baffled that you think that somebody I can draft in the fourth round is inherently miles better than somebody I'm going to draft in the first round. Could pan out that way, but you don't think that way. Nobody in their right mind thinks that way. But find me the veteran quarterback. Find me who's going to lead you in 2025 in a realistic world where it's not going to be, well, hand the keys over to Trey Lance. And that's what Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are sticking their flag in this year, is the quarterback who's going to lead them to at least have their jobs next year. I'd love to live in the ideal world. You're not there. We are not there. It is job-saving season while trying to compete. They've made that very clear, very apparent, and that's the reality we live in. But I need to know. 216-474-0092 from the lovers of Abdul Carter at the top of the draft. You have to have a veteran in mind. Who is your veteran quarterback? Because right now, I think it's your feet are in cement. You will not move on your opinions of the quarterback. So there's got to be somebody you love. And I need to know where the confidence comes from in 2025 that you can find somebody to lead you halfway decent. I'm still not seeing it. You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. Because coming up here in about 5 minutes, We'll get to the station buzz where you can hear the most pressing clips on the station from our guests throughout the day. Again, that's coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 on The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.